Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Hi, kids. Welcome to Patriots Playbook for Thursday on the bye week, which is the one and only infamous and perhaps more famous than infamous game show Thursday here on Patriots.com radio. I'm your genial host, Gene Rabert, or John Rook as the case may be. But today is the day that we try to spend each and every bye week opportunity that the Patriots have to have a little fun with the sport of football, to have some fun for those of you that are children of the, you know, well, I don't know. Okay, I'll admit it. Children of the 70s, 60s, and beyond. If you have not ever had the opportunity to participate in a radio game show, let me give you a little bit of background. We'll actually even play you a clip from one of the old shows so you can kind of get the gist of what it is we're going to do in the opening hour of the program today. But who remembers, especially from the heyday of television game shows? Remember that in the heyday of game shows were actually aired in morning programming on network television. ABC, CBS, NBC in this country. There was no Fox back then. There were three major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. And you would have, you know, the regular Today Show and all that kind of stuff that would be on the networks. And then usually about 9 a.m. Eastern time. And then, of course, it would stagger throughout the country, so it would hit at 9 o'clock, no matter the time zone that you're in. They would start with the round of game shows. There was Concentration. There was a Match Game. There was Hollywood Squares. There was Password. I mean, there's a bunch of different game shows, and these were all usually in that 9 a.m. to 12 noon block. Then maybe your local station would go to, like, local news or what have you, and then you'd start the soap operas in the early afternoon. Before then, you get to, like, a movie or something in the afternoon, and then you get the local news at night. And that was generally the way it went for about 20 years. So game shows were very much a part of morning programming, to the point where when I was in elementary school and in junior high school back in the late 60s and early 70s, I loved being sick, staying home from school, because all I would do is watch Jeopardy or Match Game, generally speaking. Eskel, what about you? What do you remember from game shows?
I remember watching Price is Right.
Price is Right. Yep. One of the great ones, right?
It was during the day. I also remember at nighttime, like during that 7 o'clock hour, Joker's Wild.
Joker's Wild is a good one. How about Press Your Luck? Do you remember Press Your Luck?
Not
that was
so much.
That was more than 1980s.
No, yeah. No, not so much. I do remember during the daytime Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, Hollywood Squares. Right.
I remember Family Feud.
Right. Family Feud was a big one. Yep. A lot of that actually turned more toward primetime, mm-hmm. late night programming, like, you know, Wheel of Fortune obviously
Wheel of
was.
Fortune,
and
Jeopardy.
Wheel of Fortune really is, and Jeopardy still is to this day.
Yeah.
Those two shows are syndicated by the same company.
Right.
And they're
back, usually.
Yes, exactly. So those are the game shows that you see most prevalent now on most of your local stations anyway.
Yep. I vaguely remember $100,000 Pyramid.
Yep. Dick Clark.
Yeah,
Dick Clark did that
Gong Show.
Gong Show was funny as hell. It really was. Lots of good ones. All right, so today for Game Show Thursday, we're playing our old favorite, the Gong Show. No, we're not playing the Gong Show, but that was the Gong. We're playing Match Game. We're going to play a version of a show that I kind of grew up with in the early 1970s, and it's a very simple show, but we've tailored it to pro football and or the New England Patriots. So those of you who are listening to the show will certainly have an opportunity to guess the questions or to match our panel of stars. Now, in the old Match Game, there was a panel of six celebrities, usually from television, film, Broadway even, that would sit on the panel, and it was up to them to come up with clever, witty, and let me emphasize, witty answers to match the fill-in-the-blank portion of what the contestant was asked to match. All right, so if you don't know how this goes, let's play a little clip, Kev. Can we do that?
I never should have married a riflery instructor. On our honeymoon, he kept stopping to blank.
Instructors?
Riflery.
A riflery.
A riflery instructor.
What is it again?
Never mind. Just steal my answer like you always do.
Can I see the question,
please? No, I'm not falling over. I don't have it.
Lance, can I see the question?
He's funny today, isn't he? Not for long, though.
If a bomb hits here, Alan Seuss will be a star.
You
know what the original version of that was? If a bomb ever struck this room, Pinky Lee would be a star.
That's the original. Come and let me have the answer. All right, here we go.
I'm doing you a favor, and you are hard and cold. No. They're both right.
That's not true. Cheryl, are you ready? Laura said I never should have married a riflery instructor. On our honeymoon, he kept stopping to blank.
Reload.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for, all right? That was the answer the contestant gave. It was up to the panelists, of whom you heard them bantering back and forth and joking and making fun of each other, coming up with an answer. And the goal is to match as many of the star panelists as you can. And if you do, and we're going to have two rounds, preliminary rounds, and then we'll have a championship round between our two champions today here on the program. And if you do, if you win a preliminary round, we're going to give you one of the Patriots yearbooks, one of our media guide yearbooks that we give for our correct scores on Prediction Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And then our grand champion, after the second round today, will win a one-year subscription, free of charge, to Patriots Football Weekly. How about that?
Wow.
So, our panelists today, by the way, will be Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. We have Kevin Collins from Patriots.com. And joining us in just a couple of moments will be the one and only guru himself, Russell S. Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com. So those are the three people that you will be trying to match with your answer to my questions. I get to play the role of Gene Rayburn, your like I said, your genial host, the one with the big stick microphone.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And I'm just going to kind of conduct the show and basically be the train conductor here. But you will match our stars, and if you do in the round, then you score points, you'll move on to the next round, you'll have a chance to win prizes. So what we need right now, first and foremost, are our contestants to light up the lines. And it's very simple. Pick up the phone and call. We can't do this online, we can't do this on Twitter, can't do this on email. I'm very sorry about that. Got to do it the old-fashioned way. We used to play this. I've done this with radio shows that I've actually hosted, Eric, probably for the last 20 years.
We've
had a long time that I've done this, and actually you probably still hear him from time to time on ESPN radio if you listen at all on weekends. Good friend of mine, Bob Valvano, whose brother was Jimmy Valvano, the former NC State coach, and he came up with this formula about 20 years ago, and I asked him if I could steal it for my local show, and he said, by all means, it's fun. Mm. And sure enough, he's given me a lot of pointers, and I continued to do it throughout the years. We would always have one day a week where we play game show, whatever the day it was, and we'd have a blast with it, and we'd give away great sponsors prizes, and our sponsors loved it because they'd give away swag, and people would love it. So,
and you have a free hotline now you can call.
Got the free hotline, so it doesn't cost you a cent to call us.
It's already lit up.
855-PATS-500. There you go. That's the only number you need, 855-PATS-500. All right, and we will pair our first two contestants off on each other. But before we do that, let's welcome in our fourth, or actually I should say third, but fourth panelist overall is Mr. Russell S. Baxter. Russell, it is good to have you for Game Show Thursday.
Hello, Wink. How are you?
Wink Dinkerson. The old comedy bit, right? Or Wink Martindale.
Martindale.
Yes, Wink Martindale. I am going to be a hybrid of Wink Martindale, Gene Rayburn, Peter Marshall, Dick Clark. Who else were your favorites?
Richard Dawson.
He did, obviously, Family Feud.
He's a clear favorite. I think he was so underrated as even a personality.
Yeah.
And he was very smart. Bill Cullen.
Bill Cullen. Now, Bill Cullen was not exactly the jokester type. He did Password with Alan Ludden. In fact, he followed Alan Ludden when Alan Ludden fell sick.
He did about every game show, and he also hosted game shows as well.
Yeah, right.
But very smart.
Yes.
Very, very smart.
Yes. Bill, yeah.
I mean, I'm a concentration guy, too, and I go back to the Hugh Downs.
Hugh Downs. You remember Hugh Downs,
yeah,
of course.
Not the modern nighttime. Remember when they had 30 pieces to the puzzle?
Oh,
they
sure.
They didn't give any head start.
Yeah. They
and
wouldn't
then
give...
they moved it to 20. What's the fun in the nighttime version? There was like 25 pieces to the puzzle, and they showed 22 of it before
yeah.
it started.
It was because people were stupid. They didn't get any of the hieroglyphics that were back there. So that's why...
I mean, those puzzles were that was the whole show.
I know. That was actually a really, really good show. And Hugh Downs, before he went on to news fame with 2020 on ABC, was a game show host,
wow.
and he did the TV version of Concentration. The original host of Jeopardy was?
You ask me this every year and I forget.
It's not Art Fleming.
Yes! Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, where's our buzzer? Do we have it, Kevin? There you go. All right. Yes, it was Art Fleming. That's correct.
I was trying to think if there wasn't somebody before that, so.
Now, do you remember also who,
Suck it, Trebek.
No. No, that wasn't who I was thinking of. Let's just move on. All right. So
do
we
remember
have.
Who was doing what?
Do what?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me another.
No, no. I was trying to remember the game show that Art Linkletter was originally a host for. Do you remember Art Linkletter?
Oh, of course. Shit. Yeah. And it wasn't called Children Say the Darndest Things.
Yes. Kids Say the Darndest
something
Things.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was Kids Say the Darndest Things. Yeah, that's
kids
exactly
say,
what it
okay.
was. Yeah, that's what it was. So, yeah, Art Linkletter did that. Art Fleming did the original Jeopardy that Alex Trebek has taken well into the stratosphere, into the new century and still going
and
strong with him.
Jim Lang with the newly, with the dating game.
Jim Lang, the dating game. Yes. He did the original dating game. That's right. And of course,
right. And then Bob
Chuck Woolery came on after with that.
The newlywed game.
Yes, Bob Newhart with the Newlywed Game. Lots of great right. game show hosts. And I always wanted to be a game show host, so this is my way of actually fulfilling a childhood dream of mine to host a game show, so we kind of do it radio version-wise. And I know that you're very familiar with a good friend of ours, Bob Valvano, who allowed me to graciously steal his idea years ago.
Hey, there's a lot to be said for shoplifting.
Yeah, we all do it in a very, very in a very open manner here within the industry. All right, so we have Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. We have Kevin Collins from Patriots.com. We have Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. All right, so we'll get it started officially here. Kevin, I believe we need to cue the CBS Orchestra. And there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we welcome in you to Game Show Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. My name is John Rook, and we welcome you to our program. Hello, stars.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Thank you very much. All right. That was, Kevin, I didn't get anything out of you from that one at all.
Preparing.
Oh, okay.
I have the hardest job in this whole thing.
I know you do, because he's got to be pushing the buttons, he's got to answer questions, and he's got to answer phone calls. So it's going to be a very, very difficult process.
And I have to play the world's smallest violin.
The very smallest violin. That's very
and
true.
And I'm hungover, Rook.
While you're at it, Kevin.
Oh, and you're hungover from last night?
Yeah, it's my birthday last
night.
Well,
I know it was your birthday. And
you weren't celebrating a Revs victory.
No, he was not. He was at the Irish bar last night. You want to give a plug to the Irish bar you were at?
Yeah, the Banshee. It was good.
The Banshee, right?
They were very nice to me.
They were very nice to you. Did they give you anything free?
Oh, yeah. I got a free beer, a free Guinness.
Sweet.
A pint of Guinness.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Not bad for a little Irish Catholic lad from Massachusetts.
I like that. All right. Our first two contestants, and we've got the phone lines lit up. If you still want to play, you will have an opportunity coming up. But our first two contestants are Sean in Vancouver. We're going to go bi-coastal on this, kids. Sean in Vancouver with Joel in Atlanta. Sean in Vancouver. How are you today, Sean?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent. Excellent.
Good.
Now, Sean, do you have any knowledge of game shows and the match game in particular, and you're ready to give this a try?
I'm ready. I've watched all the game shows that you mentioned earlier, and I've even seen a new game show of the match game that is taped in Montreal.
Yep. So, yep. They do one. They do a Canadian version, correct?
Yeah. Couple of years ago,
yeah,
on the comedy network up here.
Sure, and a lot of those of us in the United States also are probably familiar with the older match game where the theme music come from that you can watch on Game Show Network here mostly in this country as well. All right, so Sean, stand by for a moment because your competition is going to be Joel in Atlanta. Hi, Joel, how's it going?
I'm hanging in there. How's everything, guys?
Great. All right, are you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold, Joel, because we're going to let Sean have the first crack at our first question here today as we get ready with Game Show Thursday. All right, so here we go, Sean. Let's start it off. You may have your choice from question A or B in round one. Make a pick.
I'll go B.
All right, he's going to check B. All right, Stars, here we go. Kev, you ready? We got the buzzers and everything ready to go?
Got my Sharpie ready.
You got your Sharpie ready? All right. What is our buzzer sound, by the way, for the affirmative? All right. And what is our buzzer sound for a negative? All right, very good. Here we go. All right, so we're going to play with sound effects and everything here today.
This is
good stuff.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
All right. Sean chooses question B in round one. Question B, here we go. The great Vincini. I believe this is Vincent Wilfork, but the great Vincini also doubles as a discount fortune teller. Instead of gazing into a crystal ball, he gazes into a blank. Instead of gazing into a crystal ball, the great Vincini also doubles as a discount fortune teller. Instead of gazing into a crystal ball, he gazes into a blank. All right. Now hold on, Sean. Think about it. Your goal here is to match what our three panelists will say. So there may be an obvious answer, there may be a witty answer, there may be a slightly risque answer. Think about it. Great Vincini also doubles as a discount fortune teller. Instead of gazing into a crystal ball, he gazes into a... And you got to fill in the blank. All right, Stars, don't forget to ding in when you have your answers ready. We got one ding.
Ding.
Ding two.
All right, ding.
Ding three. All
I don't
right,
like here, my answer.
All right. You don't like it already?
No.
Jeez,
yeah.
Come on, Eric. Play the game here. Here we go. All right, one more time, Sean. The great Vincini also doubles as a discount fortune teller. Instead of gazing into a crystal ball, he gazes into a...
Football.
Football. Okay. Into a football. Pretty obvious answer.
That actually makes sense. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, okay. That's fine. Okay. No, let's find out. Let's find out how our Stars go. Let's start with Mr. Baxter, the pro football guru himself. Russell, what did the great Vincini gaze into other than a crystal ball?
An aquarium.
An aquarium. Okay. I'm kind of curious to know how you might have come up with that.
Well, Miami Hurricane, water, fish.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I didn't say it was a good answer.
took the long road to grandma's house.
I'm happier with my answer than Eric is, apparently.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Scalavino, what's your answer?
I'm happier with my answer now that I heard our caller's answer, because I went with
football! All right. Sean scores. Mr. Collins, what do you have?
I wrote toilet bowl.
Toilet bowl. See, I was actually going that route myself. That shows you I got my mind in the gutter, but that's actually
kind of... Wait a minute. Did you say before that Kevin was hungover?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly why I thought it was funny.
I think the idea was to guess what Vince was lurking into, not what Kevin was
lurking into. Yeah, exactly. He's got that on his mind, obviously.
I like it. All right, but Sean, guess what? You scores one.
Got a point.
You got a point there, so I'm going to put you on hold, and then we're going to let Joel in Atlanta come in. All right, Joel, Sean's got the early lead, but it's just the first round here. You guys get two rounds, so you get question A, and then I will let you select your first choice of the next round. All right?
All right.
All right, okay. So question A here is... Dumb Danny is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
Only Eric picked up on that. Russell, Kevin, what's wrong with you guys?
No, I know something's coming.
Can't give
I'm
anything away.
To think already.
No, but you have to come. All right, one more time, fellas, play the game.
Okay.
Dumb Danny is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
He's been in the locker room so long, he's the only guy on the team with blank. Okay, think about it. Dumb Danny is so dumb. He's been in the locker room so long, he's the only guy on the team with blank. All right, Joel, think about it now before you give us your answer. Dumb Danny is really, really dumb. He's been in the locker room so long, he's the only guy on the team that has or is with blank. Now, I actually have what I think is a pretty standard answer for this. I got a ding.
Ding.
There's a second ding. We're waiting on Escal.
at E_Scal. Now he goes. All right, ding. All right, so Joel, here you go. One more time with the answer. Dumb Danny is so dumb. He's been in the locker room so long. He's the only guy on the team with what?
Without any clothes on.
Without any clothes on. Okay. We're trying to be risque, and it just didn't quite work that time, did it? Okay. All right. Let's, E-Scal, why don't you lead us off here with that one?
I just figured he was sitting at his locker so long, he has stool sores.
Stool sores. Okay. All right. All right. Very, very good. That's actually
kind of like bed sores. Yes. But he was sitting at his, you know.
Yeah. Actually, I understand the direction you were going there.
Yeah.
Southward. Kevin.
Mr. Collins wrote, thinking of Danny Amendola.
Yes.
A concussion.
There you go. That's another one. He's the only guy on the team with a concussion. That's
I don't
also
like to joke about
but
that.
That's also incorrect. Mr. Baxter, what say you about Dumb Danny?
The only one with a clean uniform.
Only one with a clean uniform. And I was going to say he'd been in the locker room so long, he's the only guy on the team with gray hair.
Good one.
Yeah, but see, nobody under, I mean, only guy on the team who's, you know, so long, gray hair, old, age.
At least he has it.
Yeah, well, that's true. He does have hair, unlike his predecessor. All right. So Joel, unfortunately, you didn't score in that round, but you do have round two. So hang in there because we're going to get right back to you. Since you are trailing, in fact, you're going to get the first pick in round two, and you need to match one to stay in the game. All right. So
all
do you
right.
want, you want to choose A or B in the second round?
I'm gonna go with B, and let's get on the same wavelength, guys.
All right. See, he's admonishing you. All three of you, he's admonishing you. All right, Joel.
Oh my goodness, I feel bad. No, I don't.
Okay, here we go. This is really good. All right, you're lucky you chose B on this one. Name something you can do with a referee's whistle.
Oh my God.
Hang on. Don't give the answer. Don't give any answer. Name something you can do with a referee's whistle. Now, these are just random questions. When you choose A or B, I have them all listed as either A or B. Sometimes the A questions are the easy ones. Sometimes the B questions are the obvious answers. There's
ding,
a ding.
Ding, ding.
There's a ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
And there's a ding. All right, so here we go, Joel. Your chance to score if you can. Name something you can do with a referee's whistle.
Blow it.
Very good. Oh, now I'm thinking that just might be, we'll mix our sports metaphors here, a home run. Kevin Collins, what say you? What can you do with a referee's whistle?
I wrote, blow it.
Blow it. That's a ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, Mr. Scalavino, what do you do with a referee's whistle?
Well, I got a little risque here, and I said you can shove it up his end zone.
Oh! No, that's not a correct answer, though. But what about Mr. Baxter?
I was going to say make him swallow it.
Make him swallow the whistle. Well, guess what? Obviously, my answer would have been blow it. But you know what, Joel? You at least scored one. So
okay,
you're still in the game, all right?
All right.
So hang in there, and let's see now if Sean of Vancouver can match one in his second round. Sean, you only need one to win the whole thing. You ready?
Yeah, and I was thinking blow it, too, Joel.
Blow it. See? All right, so you guys run the same.
Oh, well, that'll cost you.
Minus points, right? All right. You get question A in this round. All right, Sean, so here we go. Coach Bill said to Coach Josh, you know what? I've had enough of your blanking. Coach Bill said to Coach Josh, you know what? I've had enough of your blanking.
Ding, ding, ding.
That was fast.
Ding.
There's a second ding. You only need to match one, Sean. Ding. And there's Kevin. All right. One more time here. Here we go. Coach Bill said to Coach Josh, I've really had enough of your blanking. What do you think, Sean?
The tough one. Passing?
I've had enough of your passing? Okay. He says passing. I guess because he's the offensive coordinator of this team, I can understand where you'd go with that, but I think you probably need to think a little simpler even than that. Eric Scalavino, what do you say? Coach Bill said to Coach Josh, I've had enough of your blanking.
Well, you know, Bill doesn't like to joke around, so he's tired of his
Joshing. That's pretty good. That's pretty clever. Yeah, I like that. You get the ding and the buzzer on that one. I like that. That's good. All right, Mr. Baxter, you, sir.
I've had enough of your joshing.
Two in a row. How about that, Kevin? Did you make it unanimous?
Nope. I wrote play calling.
Play calling, yeah. I was going to actually be a little simpler.
Wait a minute. Is that play calling in the end zone or?
Red zone play calling.
Oh, that was Eric. Okay.
No, that was your 3rd-and-2 calling. Coach. Mine was simple. I've had enough of your coaching.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
So I know.
He's going to get fired?
Kind of harsh. I don't know. Maybe that's the precursor to, you know, you're fired. I don't know. All right.
So we're all tied up here.
Sean, guess what? We're all tied up with 1-1. So we got to go to the tiebreaker.
Are we using overtime rules before the rule changes 2 years ago or new overtime rules?
Do we have rule changes? Yes, we're going to use the old rules here, the original rules. We're going to go to a simple question and a simple tiebreak, and the person who gets the most correct in the tiebreaking round wins. All right, Sean, since you went first on the first round, you're going to lead it off in the tiebreaker. You ready?
Ready.
Here we go. Fill in the blank. The New York blank. The New York blank. Or the New York blank. The New York blank. Simple fill in the blank, Sean. Joel, you'll get one of these two. Hang on.
Ding.
Okay, ding. A couple of different directions I think you can go here.
Yeah.
I can think of two.
Yeah.
Ding.
Well, that's pretty good. Jeez, it's not brain surgery,
no,
Eric.
I
My
know,
God.
But I don't want it because I know the answers that are going to be thrown out there.
He's thinking so hard he's sprouting hair follicles.
I know.
Over there.
I need to think harder then.
Wow, nothing like self-deprecating humor.
Yeah.
Just put an answer down, brother. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, good.
All right.
There's the ding. All right, here we go. All right, Sean, the New York what?
Well, I was thinking a few things. I'm just going to go with the first one off the top of my head just because I want to say it. Jets, suck.
New York Jets suck. Okay. I you know, that's a pretty good one. I would have gone maybe a little simpler with just the New York Jets, but okay, let's find out what our contestants have to say. Mr. Collins, what have you got for your answer? The New York what?
Bumbles.
Bumbles?
Like butt fumble?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say butt fumble would have been a good one, too. Russell Baxter.
The New York Jets, because no Patriots fan would say the New York Giants.
No, I wouldn't think so. That's close.
New York Jets should be right.
Well, but
no,
he
it's
said
because it's a two-word.
It's
answer.
A two-word answer that he gave us. He said Jets suck.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
No, it only sucks to be you, Russell.
No, because I'm having a good time.
Because I had
the New York Jets suck. Oh, you scored, Sean. All right, he has it. All right, so you got one. So Sean gets the tiebreaker.
Oh, no!
So in other words, I
we
came up with
again.
The wrong answer because I didn't suck.
That's correct.
Right.
That's okay. Correct. You are correct.
So you suck for not sucking.
You learn how to play the game. All right, Sean, hang on because Joel now needs to match one to send it to a double overtime. Or, Joel, you can win it if you match two of the three.
All right, let's go.
You ready
Come
to
on,
go?
Guys.
All right, here we go. Stephen Ridley. Always puts butter on his blank.
Oh, jeez.
Stephen Ridley always puts butter on his blank. Look at Eric. Eric's actually blushing through the radio.
Ding.
Got a ding.
I think you got two dings there, actually.
Two dings. All right, Kev, you need to be the third ding-a-ling. He's got it. All right, Joel. One to tie, two to win.
Okay.
Stephen Ridley always puts butter on his...
I'm going to keep it right at Team D. I know Eric is probably thinking right at R. I'm going to say he put butter on his hands.
On his hands.
Yes.
Puts butter on his hands. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I wasn't quite going that route. I was a little more risque than that, but we're going to see what the guys say. You need to match one to stay alive, two to win. All right. Mr. Collins, lead us off.
I wrote he puts butter on his biscuits.
Butter on his biscuits.
I love the laugh. Was that you, Russell?
No, that was not me.
That was Joel. That was Joel. All right, Mr. Scalavino, what do you say?
I went with gloves. I was thinking along the lines of our contestant.
Gloves, hands, what do we say, judges? He says gloves or hands.
That's close. That's up to you, Rook. That's too close for me.
Because I was going with the fumble problem.
Gloves, hands. All right, we'll allow it. All right, so you got one. The tiebreaker's coming down to Mr. Baxter, however, then. All right, Russell, what say you? Stephen Ridley always puts butter on his...
I went ultra-conservative, English muffin.
On his English muffin. Well, guys, I was kind of going with Stephen Ridley always puts butter on his balls.
I didn't know what you say, ball on the radio. I just did. It's football.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Balls feel good. Come on, there had silicone on it.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Out of the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that also indicates fumble, does it not?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, thank you. Let's think here, people. All right, Joel, you do score one, however, so you do keep this alive. I don't think this is going to be the contest from hell here. We're getting one at a time. So we're going to go back to Sean. Actually, no, we're not. Since this is the second round, we're going to let Joel lead this one off. All right. So Joel, another tiebreaker. Okay. You ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll.
Okay. Here we go. Robert Blank. Robert Blank. Don't give your answer just yet, Joel. Robert Blank.
Ding.
Ding. Ding. There's a second ding.
Ding.
And a third ding. All right, Joel. Fill in the blank. Robert okay. Who?
I'm going to have to go with the best of mine himself, Robert Kraft.
See, I think that's the absolute obvious answer here above all, Robert Kraft. All right, Eric Scalavino, what's your answer?
Yeah, that was too obvious for me, so I went with
Thank you, Robert.
I went with a little movie theme, Robert Redford.
You see, now that's completely out of left field. Completely out of left field, up in the upper deck. I'm trying to figure that one out. You got to go with the obvious one when you got the obvious question, don't you? What do you think, Mr. Baxter?
Well, I was contemplating Robert Palmer only if you guys would have sang.
True.
But you have to do Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah. All right. You got one right there, Joel. That's good. How about a ding, ding, ding? Yeah, the judges agree. There we go. All right. Kevin Collins.
Robert Edwards,
former Patriot running back. All right. You got one, Joel. You got one.
This is a tight contest to open up the game show Thursday.
I got to tell you, this is like pulling teeth here. All right. Sean of Vancouver.
Thank you, Robert.
One to tie, two to win. You ready?
Hey, John, why don't you just give him Mona?
I was thinking Kraft as well, and on the previous one, I was thinking fingers.
Fingers? Yeah, that would have been a good one, too. All right, so Kraft, you see, you're starting to understand it. Yeah, Kraft and Mayo go together. All right, here we go. Here's yours, Sean. Tom Blank.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, these are tiebreakers, and we can't get a unanimous, we can't get a winner here. These are supposed to be easy.
Ding.
Ding.
Tom Blank. And?
Ding.
All right, Sean, here you go. One to tie, two to win. Tom Blank.
Well, I'm going to go as obvious as I can, Brady.
Okay, I like that. That's a good one. This is how you try to win a game, if our panelists would play along here. Mr. Baxter, Tom Blank.
I got to be honest, and the first thing that popped into my head was Tom Sawyer.
Come on, are you serious?
Wait a minute. Check his stats.
Tom Sawyer. That's
Check
true.
Check his stats.
We have a little Tom Sawyer by Rush. That would be really good right about now. Hey, Kevin's going
to
go look for it.
I just got Robert Redford.
Yeah.
And I just got Robert Edwards.
Robert Edwards. And so you're getting killed for saying Tom Sawyer.
And I'm getting killed for saying Tom Sawyer.
Well, we have one of the greatest quarterbacks to have ever played the game here whose first name is Tom.
Ramsey?
See, now I like this. Yeah. All right, very good.
Okay.
All right. Nice, Mr. Scalavino, what do you have?
I went along those lines. Tom Terrific, which is his nickname.
Oh. Yeah, but no, the judges say no, it's not a match.
East Gal.
It's his nickname.
Bald men think alike. Tom Terrific.
Oh. Wow.
Are you serious? So, wait a second. Let me get this right. Sean gives the most obvious answer in the entire world, and you knuckleheads cannot match him. Not one.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
And but wait a minute. What's Tom Brady's record in overtime anyway?
It's a pretty good one, actually.
I just thought I'd throw it
in. Yeah,
it's
I know.
Terrific.
So, Sean, I think you need to... What, yes, it's terrific. What you need to... God, I just got that. I know.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks for showing up there.
Thank you very much, Robert. All right, Sean, listen, if you need to blame somebody, blame these three chuckleheads right here, okay?
Yeah.
But I appreciate your playing. Thank you.
Just for that, I'm not giving out my Twitter address.
So. Okay. Hey, guess what, Joel? Joel?
Yes.
You won.
Yes, everybody sucks but me.
I love that.
Well done.
All right, so Joel, what I need
Everyone sucks but me.
That's right. Joel, what I need you to do is at least stand by, okay, because you're going to pair off in the championship round. You've already won a yearbook today, so that's the good news. But the best news is you're going to be in the running for the grand prize.
Which, season ticket?
Well, yeah, it might just very well be by the time we get there.
I hope so.
All right.
Well,
so,
after that one answer, I'm just wondering if you would go.
Would you go, Joel? Would you go?
Yeah, I'm from Boston.
Oh, see?
I just live in Atlanta.
Perfect. So then he would definitely go. So I'm going to put you on hold. If by some chance you cannot hold, make sure that you call back probably in the next 10 minutes, all right, so we can get you in the championship. Otherwise, you're going to forfeit the chance to win, okay? So hang on if you can. Now, what we need right now, I have one contestant for round two. I need another contestant. So right now, you got to pick up the phone. You got to call 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. You want to play the game? First person in on the phone lines is going to win this opportunity to play Mike in Tampa. Mike, thanks for hanging on, buddy.
How you doing?
Great. So you got a little bit of a gist of what's going on here, right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So, how would you have answered Tom Blank?
I would have gone with the obvious. However, I would have also put a little caveat in there that somebody was probably going to say Tom Terrific.
Yeah. So you might have hedged your bet on Tom Brady as opposed to Tom Terrific.
Correct, yeah.
All right. What I want you to do then, Mike, is just stand by, and we're going to make sure that we can get are the phone lines working here? Hello, people?
They are working.
Anybody there? 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. You want to try the Ace Ticket Hotline? Go ahead. 508-298-0398. It rings through on the very same line, but we do need some competition for Mike. We'll give it a minute or two, and if you don't get it, then guess what, Mike? We'll just advance you. There we go. All right, let's see. We got a contestant. Very good. All right, we'll wait until we get this person queued up, and then we're off and running. I still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I've got plenty of questions. Okay, so we got lots of stuff here. All right. Oh, now see, I'm going to like this a lot. This is going to be really good. And the reason this is going to be really good because we've got a female player here today, Janine in Chicago. Hi, Janine.
Giddy up.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Awesome. You ready to play?
Yes.
So you heard some of the first round. You know how we do this, right?
Yep, I picked Tom Terrific.
See, there you go.
Smart girl. So I'm like a winner. So I got to do this.
Smart girl.
Sounds to me like she's got the right idea going here.
Called the playbook before?
I don't think so.
I know I've emailed a few times.
You have emailed. Okay. Excellent. So you're familiar with the show, too. See, I'm liking this stuff already. All right, Janine, thanks. Hang on just a second. We're going to get right to you. We're going to give the courtesy of the first selection to Mike because he's been hanging on for about a half an hour to play our game here. So, Mike, you ready to roll? A or B?
I'll go with B.
You're going to go with question B. All right, here we go. Oh, this is a good one. All right, so here we go. Did you see who that was? That was Rex Ryan. He announced that he was going to coach the Patriots, and blank tossed him into the stands. Did you see who that was? It was Rex Ryan. He announced that he was going to coach the Patriots, and blank tossed him into the stands.
That's being a jackass.
It might be. But think about it. Did you see who that was? That was Rex Ryan. He announced he was going to coach the Patriots. And blank tossed him into the stands. Who would be most likely? Now, there's a ding. Who would be most likely to disagree with that one and toss him into the stands? Or maybe it would be a celebratory toss into the stands. A couple of different ways that you can look at this.
Ding.
All right, there we go. All right, Mike, here you go. Did you see who that was? That was Rex Ryan. He announced he was going to coach the Patriots, and blank tossed him into the stands.
Well, I'll go with Mr. Patriot tossed him into the stands.
Mr. Patriot?
Who's the Patriots mascot?
Pat Patriot?
Pat Patriot tossed him into the stands.
He says Pat Patriot tossed him into the stands. That's not bad. That's okay. I like that. That's not bad. I was thinking more specific player, but that's okay. That's not a bad answer. All right, Russell Baxter, let's start with you. Who tossed him into the stands? Who tossed Rex Ryan into the stands?
Oh, it has to be Tom Brady. I mean, who throws better than he does?
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers.
All right. Tom Brady is judges. Nope. Incorrect. All right. Kevin Collins, what do you say?
I said Fred Kirsch.
Fred Kirsch. Nice.
That's a good one.
But also incorrect.
Yeah.
And Eric Scalabino.
I went with Sanchez, which is how he hurt his shoulder.
Oh, see? Now that's actually not a bad one. All right, very good. I like it. Unfortunately, Mike, you didn't match any on that round. So,
no.
But I want you to stand by because we're going to see how Janine does, okay? And then come back for round two. Okay, Janine, you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, he took question B, so you get question A in this round. Seems like we got a New York theme going here, all right? I just came from New York. They got a new type of men's room there. If you try to sneak in under the door without putting a quarter in it, it blanks you. I just came from New York. They got a new type of public men's room there. If you try to sneak in under the door without putting a quarter in, it blanks you. Definitely a New York theme to our opening round here of our second semifinal match. Game Show Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. Yes. All right, judges.
Ding.
We got one. That's one star.
Ding.
And there's two stars. Mr. Baxter.
Ding.
And a third star. All right, Janine. Here we go. I just came from New York. They've got a new type of men's room there. If you try to sneak in under the door without putting in a quarter, it blanks you.
Gives you the bird.
It flips you off?
Yes.
That'd be funny. Bird. That would be funny.
Okay. All right. So I don't know, guys. Were you thinking along those lines or were you thinking along the way that I was thinking on this one? Let's start with Eric Scalavino.
Well, I was thinking along those lines, sort of, John, but I went with the pun.
Mm-hmm.
It jettisons you.
That's a good one. That's actually even cleverer than I had. Eric, is that one? And let's see. How about Kevin Collins?
I wrote flips you off.
Really?
What? Really?
My goodness. How about that, Janine?
Yay! I like you, Kevin.
All right. Mr. Baxter, what do you say?
Flushes you.
Flushes you. See, I was going with either flushes you or robs you. It's New York, after all, right? So, you could go with mugs you. How about that one?
Well, I was on the bus with Eric when we were going to the Jets facility, and I tell you what, we got a lot of birds, so that's what made me think.
We did,
of that.
Yeah.
So, usually I thought of that.
All right, yeah, all right. Well, see, Janine?
Now, John, when you say robbed you, is that Rob Edwards or Rob Redford?
Yeah, Redford, of course.
Rob Redford, that's it. Thank you very much. All right, Janine, you got one in the opening round, so stand by because we're going to go back to Mike in Tampa. This is round two. Now, Mike, you need one to tie to stay alive here, or Janine is the automatic winner, okay?
All right,
so here we go. You get to, because you're trailing, you're going to get the first choice here of A or B.
I'll go with B again.
All right, you're going with B again. Here we go. Oh, okay. Well, this is a little better. The salesman said that caterpillar must be an athlete. He just bought 100 sneakers and a blank. The salesman said the caterpillar must be an athlete. He just bought 100 sneakers and a blank.
Ding.
And two, Kevin Collins is having a struggle with this one, Mike. Hang on before you give your answer. I'm liking the fact, though, that we haven't had to disqualify anybody. Nobody's jumped out there with their answer because they've obviously heard the game or know how to play the game,
right,
which is really good. You guys are clued in. I'm proud of you. Hadn't been terribly clever from time to time, but other than that.
Come now.
That's gonna, it is what it is, right?
Oh, ding.
Okay, there's a ding. Okay, Mike in Tampa, here you go. The salesman said that Caterpillar must be an athlete. He just bought 100 sneakers and a what?
And 100 pairs of gloves.
And 100 gloves or 100 pairs of gloves.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and 100 pairs of gloves. Okay, let's see if we can get one out of this. We need at least one to keep this game alive. Eric Scalavino.
He's not going to get one from me because I said he bought a Hummer.
What the hell? Okay.
Haven't you seen the parking lot out here?
I've seen it. They're all Hummers out there. I know. All right. That's
I don't know what you were thinking of.
not a thing. My mind
get in the bathroom in New York.
My mind is blank on that one. Russell Baxter. Your answer to the Caterpillar must be an athlete. He just bought 100 sneakers and a...
Well, common sense would say 50 pairs of socks.
Yes.
But I said a stopwatch.
A stopwatch. That's a good one. All right, you got to match Kevin Collins. You got to match Kevin, Mike, to stay alive here.
I read 50 pairs of socks.
50 pairs of socks. Oh, my goodness gracious. The judges say no. Mike, I appreciate your willingness to play. Thanks for playing.
No problem.
All right, you got it. So guess what, Janine?
I'm a winner.
You're a winner. You're a winner. You won.
I love her enthusiasm.
By the way, my answer on that one was Caterpillar must be an athlete. He just bought 100 pairs of sneakers or 100 sneakers and a jock strap. What's wrong with that?
That's boring.
Wouldn't that be 50 jock straps?
I don't know. How many things does he have down there?
I don't know.
I've never checked.
The bigger question is not how many does he have, but does he butter them?
Okay, now we're moving on. Now we're totally moving on. All right, so guess what, Janine? Two good things here. Number one, you're going to go into the finals against Joel in Atlanta. So we have Chicago against Atlanta in our championship match here. But number two, you're already a winner. You just won a year.
Tell them what they've won, John.
Tell them what they've won, Johnny Olson. How about that? Playbook, yearbook.
Well, I'm fired up.
The
last time I got one was when I went to the Pats Jets game in 2011.
Oh, you're going to like this one much better because it's got all the history. All of the history. It's like the media guide, copy of the media guide that the real media, actual real media, of which I think we have one or two people around, they used to, you know, go back and do their research with, right? So that's good stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. So there you go. Now we have Janine and Joel. So what I'm going to do here is we start our championship final. And this one, by the way, guys, this is for the whole enchilada. This is for a free year subscription to Patriots Football Weekly magazine. So I hope that excites you to no end. Janine and Joel, let's see. Alphabetically, Janine gets to go first. Joel, since I know you're hanging on, I hope you don't mind. We're going to give the lady the first choice in the opening round. So, Janine, you get A or B?
A.
All right, she's going to choose A. Oh, gosh. Here we go. Dumb Danny was so dumb.
How dumb was he?
Okay. He was so dumb, the first time he was on an ocean liner, he thought the porthole was a blank. Kevin shaking his head. Cue the music, will ya?
Ding.
Dumb Danny was so dumb, the first time he was on an ocean liner, he thought the porthole was a blank.
Ding.
There's two dings.
Ding.
And three dings. All right, Janine. Dumb Danny was so dumb, the first time he was on an ocean liner, he thought the porthole was a...
I'm trying to be more ladylike, but what's coming to mind is the jizz hole.
Is the what?
What?
What did she say?
She said piss hole.
A jizz hole.
What?
Now Janine's blushing.
I can see you blushing, Janine.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. Janine, there's another word for that. It's called a toilet.
Okay.
It's called a toilet. I'm loving it. But she's definitely into this thing. All right. Russell Baxter, please save us from the FCC and give us a good answer here.
Gee, I'm flush after that answer.
Nice.
You're full of crap.
Oh, that's two. Kevin, you don't have any witty retorts? did I miss your answer? What do you say?
Toilet.
Judges, it's not the exact same thing. What are we saying here?
I say give it to her.
They say yes. All right, Janine, you just scored. All right? You just scored. That's good. All right, now. That's 1-2. Oh, and Kevin, Eric's got to give his answer, too.
I had toilet bowl.
Toilet bowl. That's it.
That's a winner.
All right, so Janine, you scored 2 in that round.
I haven't given mine yet.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin has to give his.
I not only, you know how she said flipping the bird and I said flips you off?
Yeah.
I used the exact same terminology, pee hole.
Come on. Wow. You did. There you go. You just wrote it down.
Yeah, we have the we have this ESPN thing going, me and Janine, I'm telling you.
Oh, wow. You know what? This may be a show record. Well, judges, please score it. Please score
three.
It. Please score
it. I think that might be the first time.
I'm just going to say.
That's
I think
like
we,
the first perfect
we
score.
We just made had. Game Show Thursday history,
aren't
Janine.
Aren't you glad you called?
Yay. Yes, I'm so glad. And aren't you, I don't have my subscription this year, and I want it back.
And Janine, guess what? Aren't you glad your mind is in the gutter ahead of all of ours?
Yes.
It pays to be a derelict. Okay. Janine, hang on. Let's see if Joel can somehow match you.
John, think of the irony. I mean, she's going to wind up being number one because she thinks like number two.
Well done.
Where is it?
No, he's too late.
He's trying to find it. He's too late. We missed it. We missed it.
Okay. Oh, I should get a gong for that.
Number one, but don't step at number two.
He just wanted to vary the sound effects. Joel, I hate to say this, but you're going to need a
Sporting KC-like comeback.
No fooling, huh? You're going to need.
How much am I down?
You're down three. You got to match three to keep it going here.
Are you serious? I need a recount.
Yeah, I know. I said the same
There's
thing.
Only three.
Well, I think you're going to like this question, though, because, yeah, three. You got to match all three. So, panelists, stars, let's make sure we got our thinking caps on here, and let's give Joel in Atlanta a fair shot here, right?
Patriots.
All right, so here we go. And this is the B round question for this round. So you're actually pretty lucky here because it's a good one, and I think we got a good answer if you think hard. Mrs. Gronkowski said to her son, "It's not true I wanted a girl. Now shut up and put on your blank." Mrs. Gronk said to her son, "It's not true I wanted a girl. Now shut up and put on your blank."
Ding.
There's a very obvious one here. Don't differ from it because you know you'll take him out of the ballpark. Come on.
All right, ding.
All right, what do you say, Joel? It's going to be up to you, brother. Okay. Mrs. Gronk said to her son, "It's not true I wanted a girl. Now shut up and put on your..."
I know Gronk. I just know him. He needs to put his pants on.
You need to put on his pants?
Yes.
Yeah, the studio audience isn't loving that one, Joel. I think there was an obvious answer here that Eric Scalavino is going to give us right off the bat.
He needs to put on his shirt.
Oh. Well, that wasn't exactly what I was thinking either. Kevin, what did you have?
Cup.
Russell, what did you have?
Dress.
That's what I was thinking. Skirt, dress. Shut up and put on your dress. Remember the question? Said to her son, "It's not true. I wanted a girl. Now shut up and put on your skirt." Come on, people. What's wrong with you?
I was reading that you were saying it's not true that I wanted a girl. So go ahead and put your shirt on.
It's not true. I wanted a girl. Shut up and put on your skirt. That's the answer.
You were saying it's not true that I wanted a girl.
It doesn't matter how you interpret it. The answer is skirt or dress.
Nah.
John, you're wasting your time. I've been doing a statistical analysis.
Thank you, Russell. We're gonna send Russell the subscription here. Joel, hey, Thank you.
I've been doing statistical analysis of all Kevin's answers. They all surrounded a urinal. One way or another, it's been all about the urinal.
It's true. It really is true.
That's exactly where we are today.
That's what you get from a hungover guy.
Yeah, no kidding. Joel, the consolation that you have is that you still win a yearbook. How's that?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
That is great.
All right, I'm gonna put you on hold. Kevin will get your address to send you the yearbook because you did win the opening round, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thanks for playing. You got it. And Ms. Janine in Chicago, you the winner.
The big winner.
I'm a winner.
Woohoo! All right, so Janine, not only are you going to get the Patriots yearbook, but you're also going to get the subscription to PFW, so I know you're happy with that, right?
Yes. Very.
All right. Congratulations. Thanks for, see what happens? You sit here and you listen to the show, and we're begging for someone to come in and play. You say, oh, guess what? I think I'll go ahead and call in. And look what happened. You were rewarded for stepping up to the plate.
Yep. Just snatched up my phone and looked 15 minutes later.
How about that? And you are a winner. You got a couple of big prizes yourself. So, again, I'm going to put you on hold. And Kevin, once he's through with all the sound effects and everything, he'll get your address and your information, and we'll get everything out to you. How's that sound?
Thank you, John.
And thank you. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again on the program with your emails, your phone calls.
Don't be a stranger.
Whatever it may be. Don't be a stranger, all right?
For sure.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
You got it. All right. So our champion today, Janine in Chicago.
Nice.
Good stuff, right?
Very good stuff.
All right. So, Eric, what are you doing on the bye week here?
Hopefully, just catching up with life in general. During football season,
are you going to watch football?
Maybe a little bit.
See, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch college football. I really want to.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to catch a lot of it this year, so I'm looking forward to basically all day Saturday sitting on my rump and watching college football.
I might have a little bit on as white noise at some point, but I'm not going to spend all day, all weekend doing it, that's for sure.
Russell, I know that you won't be spending all day Saturday on your rump watching college football because it's not really a bye week for you, is it?
Oh, no, there is no bye week. I'll sleep in February.
See, that's what I like about you. Do you need a bathroom break, Russell, before we come back and actually talk football?
No, but I think I think Kevin is getting prepared to send some toilet paper to all the guests today.
I'm just glad he didn't use his potty mouth like he often does.
Oh, well, I'll give you one of those. Ba-doom, tsh, because Kevin's on the phone with Janine. I think he's flirting. Kevin did just turn 28, so he's a little bit of a hound dog.
Yeah, and he's still hungover. So,
yeah, and he's still hungover, so he probably doesn't know what he's saying here, and he certainly has no clue what I'm saying right now.
So, Janine, we apologize for anything that Kevin has said.
Yeah,
so
really.
Far on this
we do not take him. We do not claim him. All right, Russell, thanks. Hang on, because we'll let Kevin finish up, and then once we're all done here, we'll actually get back to the business of some real football. So, thank you, everybody. This is Game Show Thursday. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a little bit of fun. We have to have a little bit of fun on bye week. I will promise you this. If the Patriots have a bye in the opening round of the playoffs,
we'll
as we have
again.
Had the last couple of years,
yes.
We will bring back Game Show Thursday
Love
for
it.
Another round.
Let's hope.
And
for that reason only.
We'll see about coming
she
up with...
She sounds like Cat in Chicago a little bit.
She does.
She's from
she?
Chicago.
Were you flirting?
No, but I was just trying to get all the info.
You were flirting.
Don't be embarrassed. It's
you were
okay.
flirting.
No, but I just...
You cad.
But what flirting. Are the odds that the two ladies that called the show are both sound similar and both from Chicago? Maybe
does she look like a librarian with the glasses on like Kat does?
I don't know.
We'll have to get her to send a picture.
John, come on. Dirty old man.
I got to go upstairs and finish my
All right,
work
buddy.
Before I get out of there.
All right. We're going to take a break. Then the guru himself, Russell Baxter, back in the Patriots playbook.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami.
Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
And welcome back into the Playbook, hour number two. And we actually get to the business of some football now. Week 10 around the NFL will not include the New England Patriots, nor will it include the New York Jets within the AFC East division, as both teams get their bye weeks in, but that doesn't mean there isn't a little football to be played, as ProFootballGuru.com's Russell Baxter rejoins us in the Playbook and puts his actual knowledge hat on, and rather than his hat of wit on about this one. Should we have any reason at all to be excited about the Washington Redskins and the Minnesota Vikings tonight, Russell?
Well, the thing, you've got Adrian Peterson and Alfred Morris, I think, to look forward to.
Okay.
And I think what, in all honesty, can the Washington Redskins win and stay in the NFC East race? You know, if you're the Minnesota Vikings and the three teams above you are all two games above 500 and you're six games under 500,
yeah.
You know, getting back into that race is, you know, safe to say, a little tough. But on the other hand, Washington, only one game out of the loss column in the crazy NFC East.
You know, that when you think about it, yeah, you're right, because the division leaders and the Cowboys are in there at 4-4. The Redskins are only a game back. So this game means almost everything to the Redskins' chances of staying in this thing for the long haul.
Oh, there's no question about it, okay? They have dug themselves a hole. And, of course, they dug themselves a hole last year. They were a 3-6 team that ran the table with seven wins in a row. But you don't do that every year.
Right.
You know, just because you did it one year doesn't mean you do it every year. You're hard-pressed to duplicate a feat like that. And, you know, if the Redskins, listen, down at the half last week to San Diego, you know, put it together. It's funny. Last year, Adrian Peterson, the leading rusher in the league, Alfred Morris was second. They must like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Adrian Peterson is fourth, and Alfred Morris is fifth.
Okay. Do you feel like Robert Griffin is closer to being the Robert Griffin of last year? And is that the benefit, you think, the Redskins here in the stretch run?
I think RG3 is maybe still like RG...
2.5?
1.75.
Oh, okay.
But he's not getting much help from his defense, I can tell you that. The Redskins... You think it's been a rough year in the NFC East as far as stopping people? Now, these are rankings are just based on yards, as you well know. The Eagles are 32nd in total defense. The Cowboys are 31st, and the Redskins are 30th.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Jeez. Okay. We might have some showtime then.
The Giants are a juggernaut at 14, and they're 2-6.
Yeah, no kidding. Go figure.
But the Giants also have turned over the ball 25 times this year.
Yeah, which is just, that's just ugly football. All right. Well, it might be worth at least a glance at tonight. We mentioned that both the Jets and the Patriots are off of the AFC East. The other two teams are playing, as you're aware. And, of course, I know you're also aware of the major story that's hit the NFL this week concerning the, well, we think it was apparently some bullying or something done by Richie Incognito of the Miami Dolphins, but now with all of his veteran teammates coming to his rescue, do you have a take on this at all, knowing what the culture of a football locker room is like yourself?
I'll just say this because I think it's such a fluid story now.
Yeah.
Because we're finding out new things all the time. Regardless of culture, regardless of mentality, regardless of relationship, if some of the things, not all of the things, if some of the things that Richie Incognito said to Jonathan Martin on the voicemail are indeed accurate, and at least my mind, I just wasn't raised that way.
Yeah,
I don't care if you're joking or not.
I know. I totally agree. And therefore, I'm not really sure. I know it probably actually helps the Dolphins that they're traveling. They play the Monday night game this week. They're going to Tampa Bay, and obviously the Buccaneers have their own, you know, BOS, bag of you-know-what, that they have to carry over their shoulder at 0-8, and Greg Schiano's fighting his own battles right now. But I have to imagine that getting away from Miami is probably the only shot that Miami has to win this game, because that is definitely a ship that's listing a little bit to one side.
Isn't it interesting that for most of the season, we felt that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might be the most dysfunctional team in the league?
Yeah, and here come the Dolphins into town, right.
And I'm not saying the whole organization is dysfunctional, but boy, I mean, talk about your ultimate, can you top this?
Yeah, no fooling.
You know, we have referred to, you know, we have talked about before just the state of professional football in the state of Florida this year. It's been a rough year. Hey, listen, Miami comes off a win a week ago tonight when they got that safety in overtime against the Bengals. But, you know, it's not only an ugly story to a degree, it's just such a disappointing story.
It really is. It just makes you wonder where respect has gone, not only in a locker room, but in this world, when people are jumping to the defense of a guy who is, you know, having to resort to behavior to apparently toughen someone up. And what's even a little bit more sickening is that if Jonathan Martin is the story that has come out today, that if he might have been trying to look for an excuse to get out of football in order to gain a paycheck rather than just leave the game, that's pretty cold and calculated right there. And then if these guys were actually friends and he leans on a friend to do something like that, I don't even know how to describe that. I'm completely disgusted with the entire mess. And frankly, the Dolphins can't lose enough. I know that's where how most Patriots fans feel already anyway about Miami. But Miami needs to win this game, because if they do, if they hold serve here and they make Tampa 0-9, Miami then moves right into a tie with the Jets for second in the division and right thickly into the wild card chase at 5-4.
No, there's no question about it. And it's been such an up and down year for them. They were 3-0, then they were 3-4. And now, you know, the big win and now also the big controversy and never boring when it comes to this league. But, you know, year after year, we keep on finding things. You know, it's becoming almost a game of can you top this?
Crazy, isn't it?
Just when we think one story is absolutely incredible, we get another story that winds up being even more incredible.
Yeah, no kidding. The other division opponent this week, the other AFC's team in action, the Buffalo Bills, they are on the road, and they are taking on the same team the Patriots vanquished a week ago. They're playing at Pittsburgh. So Buffalo is 3-6. Pittsburgh is 2-6. Sounds to me, after last week, even though we saw the Steelers' offense get somewhat healthier against the Patriots, they gave up 55 big ones, and I can't imagine that'll make anybody happy, least of all Mike Tomlin. So does Buffalo play their way back into some kind of contention here if they can pull off a road win?
Well, you know, if the Steelers play the run like they have, especially the last 2 weeks, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 31st in the league in run defense.
I never thought I'd ever hear that figure said. I never thought that would ever happen. Whatever happened
to
the Steel Curtain?
How incredible that is.
Yeah.
Since Dick LeBeau came back during his second stint as defensive coordinator, which was in 2004, okay, seven out of those, let me see, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I want to say 8 of those 9 years, they were top 3 in run defense. The 1 year they weren't, they were 8th.
Wow.
And now they're 31st. And the Pittsburgh Steelers not stopping the run is almost hard to believe, but obviously you saw what the Raiders did with Terrell Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
You then saw the balance by New England last week, 610 total yards, 55 points, records that the Steelers certainly don't want to ever duplicate.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll find out if E.J. Manuel's coming back this week, because that adds to Buffalo's run game, which is already 7th in the league.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see Buffalo's defense, which obviously has Mario Williams, who is a mismatch for probably anybody on that Steelers offensive line, no matter how they put on them.
Yeah, right now anyway.
You know, Buffalo hasn't won in Pittsburgh in a while, but there's a lot of things the Steelers are doing this year that they haven't done in a while.
Wow. That's it's hard to believe that you'd even give Buffalo a snowball's chance and you know what to go into Pittsburgh and win a game, but you have to like the way that it matches up at least with Buffalo's running game against the Steelers' run defense.
Absolutely, and let's not forget, you know, we know the Steelers have beaten the Jets this year. They beat the Ravens a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
You know, the season started out with the Tennessee Titans going into Pittsburgh, and people found that hard to believe.
No question.
That they could go in there and win, but this is not your ordinary Steeler team.
Let's take a look at a couple of others. Especially, I want to hit a couple in the NFC. But first, I want to talk about a test that the Denver Broncos might actually have this week on the road at San Diego. The Chargers 4-4, and both the Broncos and the Chiefs getting ready to go off and leave them, because the Chiefs, as we all know, are the only undefeated team left at 8-0. But Denver's got to go on the road and take on a San Diego team that I don't know that has really created an identity for itself yet. Have they?
I don't think so. And by the way, the Chiefs are 9-0.
9-0. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
As they head into the bye week.
Bye week themselves, yes.
As well. By the way, a lot of good teams in the AFC off this week. Patriots, Chiefs, Jets. I know we had that all figured.
Three contending teams in the AFC, yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of hard to get a grasp on San Diego. You know, they got beat a couple of weeks ago. And by the Raiders, when Phillip Rivers threw 3 interceptions, they had 5 turnovers in that game. They responded by beating the Colts and the Jaguars. Now, I know one's more impressive than the other, but they didn't give a touchdown in either one of those games. And Ryan Matthews had over 100 yards rushing in both games. And then last week, up 14-7 at the half in Washington, wound up not being able to stop the Redskins' ground game. 500 yards total offense by the Redskins. Phillip Rivers with a couple more picks. So they really kind of epitomize your classic up and down. You know, I mean, think about going back to last year when they were 7-9. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird. They were 7-9 last year, John. They scored 350 points and they gave up 350 points. And this year they're 4-4 and they've scored only 18 more points than they've allowed.
That's pretty crazy. At least they're consistent.
Yes, exactly. We just haven't figured out How can and I will also say this, because people will remember the game from Monday night last year. San Diego jumps out to a 24-0 halftime lead. Make sure you're DVRing the game.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You don't want to miss that second half. Question is, are they on the uptick at home this week against the Broncos?
Well, I think, you know, the Broncos are coming off a bye.
Yep.
And I'm curious to see what Denver's defense is going to look like. Now, Denver's defense is now head coach slash defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio.
Right, I'm just going to...
Del Rio, with John Fox recovering from his surgery.
Right.
But we just Von Miller just came back 2 games ago. They had the loss to the Colts, and they were down 21-7 to Washington at home, and then scored the last 38 points of the game, and we start seeing a little semblance of Denver's defense, at least what we think it's going to be. And it's going to be funny because Von Miller is going to get all the attention from the offensive line of the San Diego Chargers, but I think it's actually going to be a former Charger, Sean Phillips, who winds up being the hero in this game.
Interesting. I'm going to jump to the NFC only because the Cowboys playing at the Saints I thought was intriguing enough to the point where, well, the Cowboys, we talked about, they're in that struggle with the Redskins, still probably with the Eagles as well in the NFC East. The Saints are 6-2, and their two losses are to two AFC East teams, the Patriots and the Jets, and I'm still having a hard time believing that they lost to the Jets, but they did. The Saints get the Cowboys at home, so is it possible, because the Cowboys are 5-4 going in, is it possible that 8-8 wins the NFC East?
I think it's possible 7-9 could win the NFC East, and I'm not being flipped because we saw it 3 years ago in the NFC West.
Yeah.
And this isn't, you want to talk about a lot of, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, not Kevin Collins, Kevin Bacon.
or it could be Kevin Collins too, for that matter.
Well, Kevin's busy packing up things for people in Chicago, so
that's true.
Disturb him.
Yeah,
so.
Busy getting phone numbers and addresses. And, right.
He did. Yeah. But it was funny.
Yeah.
Rob Ryan comes back to face the team that he coached defensively the last 2 years. I should say not comes back, but they'll be home. But DeMarcus Ware is also rumored to be coming back, and that would be
huge.
Big news for the Dallas Cowboys, who's, you know, sack production. And it's funny because Dallas has given up a ton of yards, but they continue to do a decent job. You know, they're tied for second in the league with 21 takeaways, which is, you know, not shabby considering they had 16 all of last year. What bothers me about this matchup for Dallas is, and you saw it with the Jets last week, the way to exploit New Orleans is on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
25th in the league in run defense. And even though their defense was dead last against the run last year and dead last in history last year, they still haven't solved the run defense. Now, the problem is Dallas is like allergic to running the football. Okay? I mean, they can, you know, they've got healthy, you know, they've got healthy DeMarco Murray back. And they have Joseph Randall. It's almost they insist on it being a one-man show, and that just gets them in nothing but trouble. If I'm Dallas, I run the ball at least 35 times in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they could beat the Saints if they did that. And I think all it takes is about two, you know, maybe two sacks by DeMarcus Ware. Have Drew Brees cough up the ball one or two times. You know, I remember the last time Dallas was in this building. I know you'll remember. It was a Saturday night. The Saints were 13-0.
Oh yeah, that's
right.
And
the Cowboys went in and handed them their first loss of the season. Of course, you know, Dallas won a playoff game that year, but New Orleans won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's also true. So you sound like you give the Cowboys at least a snowball's chance here in this one.
Yeah, I do. I do because I think anytime your weakness is run defense, you can be had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will the Cowboys choose to exploit that? That's where the doubt is in my mind.
Right. Telling comment by Russell Baxter, Patriots fans, when your weakness is run defense, you can be had. So we know that's where the Patriots are hurting right now up the middle defensively. All right, the other two division leaders besides the Chiefs and the Patriots, this week, you've got the Colts playing at home against the St. Louis Rams, and you have the Bengals on the road playing the defending Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. Who is more likely to win?
Well, I would say the Colts are more likely to win.
Because they're at home.
Because they're at home. And also they're playing the Rams. Mm-hmm. And Baltimore has not been the kindest place to the Cincinnati Bengals. And speaking of run defense, which Cincinnati's defense, we know how good it is. but suddenly no Geno Atkins.
Right.
And I'm going to be curious to see how that affects the entire unit. I will say that Cincinnati is not only a good defensive team, they're a deep defensive team. So, you know, much like the Patriots are dealing without Vince Wilfork, the Bengals are now going to deal without, you know, if he's not the best interior defensive lineman overall, because the one thing about Atkins is not only good against the run, but he can rush the passer,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of interior guys, you know, you don't see that, you know, maybe the exception in Ndamukong Suh, you know, who's the last really good interior? John Randall?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as an interior guy.
Yeah.
Who gets a lot of sacks. Warren Sapp? You know, you don't see those anymore. More of the sacks come from the outside guys, the outside linebackers, the defensive ends, and so on. So Geno Atkins, a big part of what they do. So it'll be interesting to see. But, again, here's another team that refuses to run. And, you know, for every indication, Ray Rice is healthy. And they have Bernard Pierce. And this team, once again, hard to believe, the Baltimore Ravens are 29th in the league in running the football.
So if
they think Joe Flacco can do everything, he had a lot of support last year. And I'm not one of the Joe Flacco bashers. He does what he's supposed to do. But right now, it's almost as if they're asking him to do even more, which is perplexing because he doesn't even have his top two receivers from a year ago in Anquan Boldin and Dennis Pitta.
That's very true. But I think we all can see that the writing is on the wall for the Ravens, especially if they lose this game at home to the Bengals, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
I don't think there's any question about it.
Two games behind in the loss column.
What happens is you just run out of time. And if you don't hold serve in the division, and at least win your home game, you take the chance of being swept. And once you're swept, you know that no matter what happens, if you tie that other team, you lose the tiebreaker.
Correct. So, right.
You're talking about a division where at least two teams have made the playoffs 5 years in a row. We have 1 year, we had three teams from the AFC North.
Right.
I don't know if we're going to get that. I don't know. I know we'll get one. I don't know if we're going to get more than one this year.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, so it's definitely a back against the wall time for the Baltimore Ravens, without too much of a doubt as far as that one's concerned. So you've got the Colts, the Ravens, the Bengals all involved, still teams that are kind of on the, at least on the deck for the Patriots. The one game that has a lot of intrigue for me and the one I think that a lot of Patriots fans will certainly be watching, this weekend has to be a 4:05 Eastern time game with Carolina playing at San Francisco, simply because it's the Panthers that the Patriots get next on a Monday night. But the Panthers are surprisingly good. So as we start to learn about Carolina, they are 5-3 overall, and they've got two of their wins on the road, and they get to go to San Francisco to take on the 6-2 49ers. So tell me, Russell, how good is Carolina, and why isn't anybody maybe outside of the North-South Carolina area really talking about them?
Well, because we've been teased the last couple of years, thinking, you know, this was a team on the upswing. And of course, in 2011, they started 2-8. In 2012, they started 2-8. This year, they started 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
So it was same old Panthers, but it suddenly caught fire. Four in a row. I think at least 30 points in each one of those games. But here's the most impressive thing about them. They have given up 9 touchdowns total in 8 games this year. They have given up 1 touchdown in the first half all year. And that came last week, and they must have been upset about it because then they beat Atlanta 34-10.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was a shocker.
Into a slightly hotter team in the Niners,
mm-hmm.
off to a 1-2 start. Now 6-2, 5 wins in a row, 31 or more points in 5 straight games. A lot of similarities between these teams: style of quarterback, consistency with running. But I'm going to throw an interesting name to keep an eye out in this matchup, because we know this Steve Smith against the secondary, and Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis and so on. A guy who has had a fairly respectable year this season as a wide receiver, where a lot of people thought he might not be able to play that position anymore, and that's Ted Ginn.
Hmm.
Done pretty well for himself, and of course he's coming back to the team that he spent the last few years with.
That's true. That's very true. So he's actually developed into a little bit more than just a kick return threat.
Yes, and that was, remember, hey, he was the last person, 49er, with the ball in his hand in Super Bowl 47.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you know, that kick return that, you know, never materialized?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't help it. I might as well do it. I think Ginn could be the right tonic for the Panthers.
Ba-doom. Kevin's not in the studio, otherwise he would have given you the drum beat on that one.
Oh, he's at the post office.
Yeah, he's at down the street doing. He's gathering numbers and addresses.
Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo.
Talking to Janine in Chicago. Oh, that's what he's doing. All right. So anyway, I really find that's one that I think that a lot of us need to watch. What's that?
I think it's the most fascinating game of the week.
Yeah, I agree. We're gonna finally know.
Football.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you like inside linebacking play, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, and Luke Kuechly.
Pretty outstanding.
Yeah. Think about this with Carolina's defense. Of course, they added Star Latui up front. You know, a lot of people don't know about Greg Hardy and Charles Johnson. Maybe Johnson, but not Hardy as much as pass rushers. But think how good this team had to be. And Thomas Davis is having a good year for them as well, linebacker-wise. Think how confident and good they thought this team was that they actually traded John Beeson a few weeks ago to the New York Giants.
Right. Yeah, that is pretty, yeah, when you think about it, yeah, absolutely. You know, we haven't spent a whole lot of time on this, but I did want to kind of end up with this, to get your thoughts on the storyline that there have been a lot of significant injuries through a lot of the teams. There hasn't been a team in the NFL that hasn't been touched by a significant injury really this year. And I'm wondering, in your estimation, seeing as how you've seen the game evolve, especially over the last couple of decades, to where bigger, stronger, faster has just gone, through the roof, basically. Do you ever see a time where the competition committee says, we need to learn how to dial this back?
Oh, boy. You know, I think one of the problems we're having with these injuries this year, in my very humble opinion, is the fact that, we've seen less contact. And I don't know if some of these players are used to the contact that you're seeing. It almost reminds me of baseball in the sense that, and I've used this analogy a lot of times. I remember getting up when I was a kid and opening up the newspaper and seeing Wilbur Wood, 24 wins and 22 losses. Boy, he pitched a lot of games.
Yeah.
Okay? And, in baseball, it's such a, I don't remember short relief and mid relief and long relief and, guys coming in and pitching for one inning, 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the severity of injuries as far as number. Now, back then, a severe injury 20, 30 years ago meant your season. Okay? You weren't coming back from an ACL or an MCL or anything like that. Now, of course, it's different with arthroscopic surgery. But I think the lack of contact has almost been kind of detrimental to a degree. And if there's anything they should start doing in the NFL, and I know owners don't want to hear this, but it better become a reality if you're going to an 18-game season. I think we really have to look seriously, John, expanding these rosters.
Well, I think expanding the roster is the better way to go, in my own humble opinion. I'm not sure that I completely buy the lack of competition, the lack of physical contact as a reason why these guys are getting hurt more, because it sort of flies in the face of logic when you think about it. You're telling me so less physical contact means more injury? It almost doesn't make sense. I know a lot of it has to do with, conditioning and being ready to accept for the long haul the punishment that your body takes. And sometimes your body can be conditioned to that. And if you've ever played football, then you know what I'm talking about. We know in the olden days, back in the 60s and 70s, where guys would actually use training camp to get in football shape. But once, we got to about the mid 70s and once we increased our schedule to 16 games from 14, that's when guys really started becoming full-time players, where it was their job to be in shape before they even got to training camp. So I don't know if that's as much it as it is that the owners, I don't know if they want to pay to get their rosters, protected like that. Now, you may say, well, 53 players is what you have. If you bring in more guys, it's just going to be a watered down product, which could invariably, if guys don't know what they're doing, you could certainly, I think, make an argument that, if guys don't know what they're doing on the field, they're going to get hurt. It's not going to do them any good. But I think that it's a real simple solution here. Let's make the practice squad eligible to play on game day.
Oh, I love that. And when I say expand the roster, I've never understood why you need to, if you've got that many people in the roster and they're practicing, Why do you have to deactivate him?
I don't know.
I understand you don't have to pay him, but I've never understood what's wrong with having more healthy bodies.
There's really nothing wrong with it, which is why I think that's got to be a step. Because I'm looking at all these injuries and all these superstars that are out of the game, and hey, we're affected here by it in New England as well as anybody else, or as bad as anybody else has been really in the league this year. And fortunately for the Patriots, they're managing to keep their head above water and then some at 7-2. But I'm saying, look, this is really going to come back to bite the NFL. They love the fact that there's parity. They love the fact that teams are equal. They love the fact that teams, impose their will on others. And I think they love the plot lines and the storylines that develop over the year and the adversity that a lot of teams have to overcome, you know, because of the injuries they have. But before too long, though, teams are going to say, ah, so-and-so's hurt, they're out of it. Interest is going to wane. And so if you're going to keep the NFL at a high level in terms of, you know, public sentiment, in terms of interest, in terms of being, you know, the number one sport in this country, which it is, and it clearly has overtaken baseball. All you have to do is look at the television ratings to understand that. Then you're going to have to be proactive. And the only way you can be proactive is, and to me it's very simple, you've got to give coaches a chance to create more depth on the roster so they can overcome the injuries that are happening. You just simply make the practice squad eligible on game day so all 53 can suit up and go. I think that would mean a lesser hit to the pocketbook of owners, you know, and still paying these guys, you know, minimums or whatever you have to pay them, than it would be to say, all right, let's open it up. Let's bring in 60. Let's bring in 70, whatever, and then really watering down the product. And I don't mean to say that there aren't a bunch of guys that could still play this game at a high level that are out there that can't get jobs in the NFL, because I'm sure there are. These street free agents we always talk about coming in, and, you know, it's kind of like, well, what good can they do if they're not on somebody's roster by the midway point of the season? And you have to wonder about that. But the guys that teams already have pigeonholed, that they want to keep around because by contractual reasons they can, just so other teams don't get a chance to take them from them. These are guys that all deserve a chance to play. I think it's an easy way out. It shouldn't cost a heck of a lot of
money.
Yeah, it shouldn't cost a heck of a lot of money. And if you still need to have somebody on reserve, then let's go back to the old taxi squad. You remember the taxi squad, Russell?
Hey,
you know,
absolutely.
How,
I think you're in the right ballpark. In fact, like I said, you're hired. I'm all for that. I mean,
you can give me
you've already got guys who are acclimated to what you're doing.
Yes, exactly. So let's let them benefit from the learning that they go through over the course of the week. And if you need to have something, you know, pigeonholed for the rainy day or whatever, the old wasn't it a four-man taxi squad the teams had like back in the 60s?
I think you're right.
I think it was too.
That's about right.
Then great. Let's go with 53, and then you develop a four-man taxi squad, and really all you're doing is you're paying four extra players. Now, is that so hard to swallow?
No. Not at all. I'm telling you, you're on the right track.
You can give me credit
on the right track.
You can give me credit on Pro Football Guru.
If you say it loud enough, it'll get some attention because the NFL is always listening.
Yeah, well, I hope that they are in this one because I think I love this game, and I know that the fans who listen to us every week here on Patriots.com and the fans that follow you on Pro Football Guru and read you on Yahoo and read you Cold Hard Football Facts, read you as well in Bleacher Report and followed you for a number of years on radio stations across the country, they love this sport. They want to see this sport continue to grow. They don't want to see this sport dwindle. And I just thought with the extent of the serious injuries that are knocking guys out and putting them on IR for an entire year. We're at the midway point of the year, barely into the second half, really. The Patriots already have 8 players on IR. 8, which is an astounding number. And I know that there are other teams like it in this position. You got to be proactive with this and do something about the depth problems that are going to be haunting teams here in the not-too-far-distant future.
I think, and I'll leave you with this, Sean, I think what has to be also be done is I think there needs to be, I agree with you with the practice squad, but I think there also needs to be a reevaluation of just how we prepare for a football season as well.
Yeah, yeah.
What the off-season regimen is truly like and so on, because I think there's some holes in that as well.
Put more contact in it or less contact?
Well, I'm talking about just, it could be weight training. Yeah, here's what bothers me. 20 years ago, people pulled muscles. Now they tear them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff. I mean, are the guys overtraining? I mean, I never heard of torn groins and torn hamstrings. It was always a pulled hamstring. I understand you want to be at a fine-tuned to a certain level and so on. But, you know, they played pretty good football in the 60s and 70s when everybody you know, kind of screwed around during the off season and then played their way back into shape during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think you have to find maybe is a happy medium with that.
Yeah. Probably does need some tweaking. Be another good discussion for another day. Russell, you've given us way, way too much of your time today, but I want you to know I'll speak on behalf of everybody who listened. We thank you very much.
Oh, are you kidding? My pleasure. Let me say, so I've talked football with you for an hour and a half.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's a hell of a way to get.
It's so labor intensive.
It is a hell of a way to make your day at work, huh?
Hey, who is luckier than me that I do what I do?
Yeah.
I say that all the time. People think that's just a cliche. Nope. If you did what I did and able to enjoy something you love and do it for 30 something years and, you know, as my mom once said, they actually pay you for this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Tell them, Russell.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, no, it's a joy and you make it more fun. You always have made it fun. The fact that you've had me on for as long as you've had shows the, well, good common sense. But more so, yeah. Honestly, your commitment to what you do. And the fun and the passion that you have.
I appreciate that. And I think we share it alike, which is why that makes this magic for me on Thursdays when you get a chance to do this. So, let's dial up next Thursday again. What do you say?
Absolutely. I'll tell you something. I'm really looking forward. I know it's over a week away.
Yeah.
Carolina has got me very, very intrigued. The next 2 weeks they get the Niners and the Patriots.
It's pretty good, huh? We'll find out what the Panthers are made of.
They've had such an unusual schedule because they didn't play anybody in the division for the first 6 weeks. They then played Tampa and Atlanta back to back. Now they play three more non-divisional games against San Francisco, New England, and Miami. And then they play four of their last five within the NFC South, including two with the New Orleans Saints. And don't look now. They're only a game out of first place.
Right, right. Very cool. I know. They're right there, which I think is probably going to catch some Patriots fans by surprise, especially if they put a shocker in on San Francisco this weekend.
It was 10 years ago this year that they made their lone Super Bowl appearance.
Yes, and Patriots fans have already started remembering that. That's very true, and I'm sure that'll be a theme to next week as well. So we'll be reacquainting ourselves with Carolina next week for sure. Thank you again, Russell, for the time today, and we'll talk next week.
You got it, John.
All right. Russell Baxter, the one and only, joining us here inside Patriots Playbook. If you're not following him on Twitter, I don't know why you're not. You should be at Bax Football Guru, B-A-X Football Guru, all one word. You should be following him. You can see all of his stuff on profootballguru.com. You can also follow his writings on Yahoo Sports, on Cold Hard Football Fact, Kerry Burns' website, and also on various Bleacher Report outlets throughout the country. And he is a frequent talk show host guest as well on radio stations who want to talk NFL, but people who are very smart because they want to get the inside, they want to get the numbers that are actually telling you the stories that you're trying to get involved with about your favorite teams. He's got this unbelievable, you know, memory where he can just recall things. I mean, all you have to do is just listen to one of our conversations. He says, John, you'll recall back in the 1960s. And I'm like, well, first of all, no. And second of all, what are you alluding to? That I'm old? But I understand where he's coming from. And that's the kind of person that Russell is. And we've always shared. And I've known Russell for, when did I start? Well, we started this show in 2001. 2001. So I've known Russell since 99. Yeah, since 99, because that's when I first met him when I started working at ESPN Radio. So I've known him for, we're well into, let's say, first, second, well into our third decade of knowing each other, and 16, 17 years, whatever it adds up to. But he was a delight to talk to back then. I could have sat there and not gotten any work done and missed, you know, talk shows and what have you just for sitting there and talking football with this guy for all those years. And glad that he can kind of do this on his own as well. Kevin, can we do something? Can we we take like a 2 minute break so I can kind of reset my email account here? For those of you that may have taken the time to email in your questions, whether it was game show related or not, I'd like to be able to respond to you. I'll check on the social media as well to see if anybody has anything. If anybody's got any bye week questions about the Patriots and or the Panthers or anything else on your mind, now's the time to jump aboard. We got 15 minutes left in the program. 855-PATS-500. We'll spend our time talking football right here in the playbook.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February, because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Just a couple minutes left in the program. Thanks, everybody, for being patient. Hope you had some fun with Game Show Thursday today. And thanks, of course, to Russell Baxter and Eric Scalavino and our own producer, Kevin Collins, for taking part. And congratulations to our winners. We'll get that stuff out to you in the mail. Just saw a tweet from the esteemed Jeremy Schapp from ESPN, who says he's emceeing at the ALS Lou Gehrig dinner tonight in New York, honoring Ron Darling, Phil Simms, Mariano Rivera, and Kevin Turner. Great guys, great cause. Well, for those that don't know, Kevin Turner, former Patriot running back, remember him, of course, back in the Drew Bledsoe days. I know many Patriots fans will recall is suffering from ALS, the Lou Gehrig disease. So it's really cool that he's being honored tonight in New York City. So I wanted to pass that along, as it's, you know, obviously it's just a devastating injury. If you've known anybody that's come across it, I have a very good friend of mine who is a former, or actually still is, as much as he can be, an administrator at Boston College, and he's suffering with ALS, and it's just a ravaging disease. It's just sickening to see. So I know that everybody has their own causes that they like to contribute to and follow, and probably have your own demons that you have to go through as well. Cancer certainly is one of those that's touched everybody in our lives to a negative extent, I know, but ALS is also one of those in my life just because it's touched a couple of good friends of mine. So I just wanted to make note of that tonight, and our thoughts, of course, are always with Kevin Turner as he's honored tonight in New York City. Now, let's get to some of the emails, because some of you have actually had some pretty funny things to say here. John in Pennsylvania says, John, I was going to call in for the match game, but after nobody had Magic 8 Ball as an answer for Vince's discount fortune teller, I thought it wasn't in my game. But it was fun to listen to. That's another good answer, Kev. Magic 8 Ball. Rather than stare into a crystal ball, a Magic 8 Ball. I thought that's also a very good one. Glenn says, and he's calling from Ottawa, or writing from Ottawa, Canada, says, I wanted to call, but I'm at work. Well, you clearly don't have your priorities correct here, Glenn. You gotta, when you get the chance, you go, right? Robin in Alaska says, puts butter on his balls. You almost killed me with laughter. Oh my. Footballs. Well, who the hell thought something else? What are they talking about, Kevin? I don't understand. I'm not getting this. Steve says, let us not forget Monty Hall, gentlemen. Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one, Steve. Yeah, Monty Hall was, the host of, good God. Let's Make a Deal. Thank you. Ah, God, I couldn't spit it out. Yeah, Let's Make a Deal was Monty Hall. So, you know, you choose the curtain or what's behind door number one or two or three or what's in the box, Monty. All right, so you got, yeah, and it turns out, you know, what's in the box would probably be some like a gold brick or something like that. You know, it always turned out to be like that. And behind the door or the curtain, it always ended up being like a donkey and just something goofy that would be sort of a booby prize. But, yeah, Monty Hall was a fantastic game show host for a number of years. Of course, Let's Make a Deal is still on today, as far as I know. I know that Drew Carey, before he moved over to do Price is Right, I think he was doing Let's Make a Deal for a while. And I guess there's another comedian that's doing it now. And I forgot, his name has slipped my mind, but it seems like they're getting all these comedians doing the game shows because it's all about, you know, being witty and having a one-liner for everything. And, you know, I never thought that I was a comedian. I never proposed or never purported to be a comedian. I always liked game shows because I loved the competition and it was fun and you'd always laugh. And so in this way, you know, for those of us who loved to just soak up as much, you know, stupid trivia, forget sports trivia, forget football trivia, just life trivia, would soak it in and couldn't get enough of it, you always felt like if you could ever get on a game show, you'd do real well. I actually auditioned this summer for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which Cedric the Entertainer, see, here we go again, another, you know, comedian, if you will, entertainer, is going to be a game show. He actually took over the syndicated version of the show from Meredith Vieira. And they did some auditions for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire at Foxwoods Casino in not too far away from here in Connecticut. And I went down for the audition because I've always wanted to do it. I always wanted to see what the process was like. And, you know, if I got lucky, maybe I'd get in. And I felt, well, you know, I probably know enough stupid stuff to where I could probably at least qualify. And I don't know if I'd win big bucks, but it'd be kind of fun to do. So I talked my girlfriend into it. I talked Robin into it. And we went and we did it. And what I found out nowadays, especially with these general purpose shows, is that you got to know pop culture out the wazoo. That's just it. If you don't know anything about pop culture, you know, like, you know, who's dating who's divorced who, then you just, you don't know. You know, who's, what's the hot band? You know, what's the top 100 on the Billboard chart? Like, you just, it's going to be impossible. So forget all the useless, you know, sports stuff that I know. You got to be up to date on current events and pop culture trivia. And if you are, you'll do pretty well. I've decided that I am going to try it again one of these days and get on another show. Maybe that wasn't the show for me, but definitely want to try to give it a try at some point. But it was a lot of fun. The other issue here. Oh, I wanted to end with this, but there were two other things that I wanted to hit on. Scott from New Jersey sent, I got to your broadcast late. If you've already discussed, no need to do it again. But my question is, do you think the NFL will come down harder on the Martin situation than they want to? Because they're always aware that college and high school players mimic the actions of pro athletes. They simply don't want to be accused of encouraging this behavior. There's no question in my mind, Scott, that the NFL has to make a stand on this entire Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito story going on in Miami because of the fact that, yes, there are college, there are high school, there are youth, there are peewee, there are moms, there are dads, there are everybody who loves the NFL and loves pro football looking up to this league and saying, okay, here's a chance to set an example. Here's a chance to do what schools have been trying to do really, really hard for the better part of the last 10 to 20 years. With noted campaigns, because the problem has gotten worse in our schools in this country, and that is bullying. And so they're going to look to the NFL to set an example here, which is why this all of a sudden backwash of support toward Richie Incognito, mind you, from his teammates or former teammates, but there's just no way that Miami can allow King Cognito to come back, because then that will be akin to encouraging or stamping the approval of his behavior to begin with. They can't let it happen. He's done. He has to be done. And if it's not going to be done, and if he is welcome back, regardless of the veteran players on that team who say that he didn't do anything wrong, that it was just something that may have gotten out of control, that's the whole point. It got out of control. And he did say some things that he should not have said. And it can be misconstrued in the court of public opinion. As we all know, the court of public opinion is the defining court. Forget legalities. Forget what's right and wrong. Public opinion, if you err and the court of public opinion deems you guilty, whether you are innocent or not, you know as well as I do, you are cooked. He should be cooked, because we don't want misbehaving. We don't want a new generation of young, impressionable athletes and or kids saying, hey, well, I saw that he got away with it. How come I can't? No, it's not the right message to send. And if Jonathan Martin, as they investigate this, also does something wrong, if he's deemed to have done something wrong, then he needs to be penalized for it as well. I won't draw any more aspersions to it than that. But, yeah, the NFL has got to make an example on this. There's no doubt in my mind. The entire world is watching. Certainly the sports world and the NFL. All right, Steve and Colleen gets the final word today. Patriots bye week. It's the Patriots bye week, and all through the Pats Nation, there's a sense of relief where there had once been frustration. Past the unicorns, show ponies, and a painful loss to gangrene, with names still unknown, we're still living the dream. While the media opined and the other fans whined, how do they do? How could this be? The Patriots keep winning without Gronk and Big V. But I just smile as I think WWFS, that would be what would Fred say. Oh, that is Mr. Fred Kirsch, by the way. Fred would say, we'd be fine, and somehow this statement turns out to be true. But how? How do they do it? How do they win? It's the Patriots' way. You just do your job, the next man steps up. That's all we can say. BB works his magical scheme, and like the fabled shoemaker, cobbles together wins that keep the Patriots' name living the dream. But perhaps there's a bit more this year. The Sox may have passed their magic along, and the Pats get to continue Boston strong. Or maybe it's a matter of heart, as we of Patriots Nation know, it is how you finish, and not how you start. Speaking of heart, I'd be remiss if I did not say, Ms. Myra Kraft, you dear lady, are sorely missed. It is my sincerest hope to see Bob send you a kiss as he holds Trophy 4 to the sky. Oops, but I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, aren't I? I know, around here we must take things one game at a time, but like John Rook's sweetie cranberry bread, being 7-2 sure is sublime. Ooh, nice job, Steve. Nice job. The final word. Thank you. Folks, same Pats time, same Pats channel, right back here in the playbook next Tuesday, and we'll start pointing our fingers and our attentions right toward those Carolina Panthers who lie in wait in another week. Enjoy the bye week. I'm sure you'll find some games to watch. Football Nation's coming up here on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.